The Breakfast Club.
Adam White, who's back with us on a Friday morning for the last time in 2021. Good morning, Whitey.
Yes, good morning to you. A balloon sort of morning. And
yeah, but where are they?
No, they're there.
Where?
I saw some.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. They're around. No wind. See?
Well, there's always winds up in those. What do they call those? Currents, those things?
Currents.
Probably currents.
It was a very, very dramatic afternoon when the cool change and the storm came rolling through.
Tell me about it.
Late yesterday afternoon. It's almost identical 2 days in a row. But it's really calmed down now, and the next few days are going to be very calm.
Are they calm?
Calm. Not warm. We'll get warm by Monday, but over the weekend it's going to be cool and cloudy.
Okay.
The weather is going to be quite settled.
Is that good for cricket or bad for cricket?
Well, I think it's terrific for cricket.
Just asking?
Yeah, well, it would not be too hot. Really good batting conditions and good bowling conditions.
And of course, when you dominate both of those categories...
Well, that's why you've got to batting and bowling.
It's going to have a big impact on your world.
Wow.
What about tonight? What's the forecast for tonight for the future Australian captains?
Very nice.
I know.
Yep, very nice. So we're looking forward to it.
Righto. We are looking forward to it. We love Friday night cricket with the juniors. Do they have sort of picnic type setups?
Yeah, they do. I don't like it. I don't like the children eating while the game's going on.
Right.
No, it's true. I don't.
Why?
Because I want them focused. They can eat.
Focus? What do you mean focus? What do they do on the sidelines?
Well, what happens is, particularly in the home games, is that the parents, they get pizzas and fish and chips and that sort of thing.
Fantastic.
Well, eat that during the break, not while games are going on. So when they go off for their little, you know, 2 overs break or whatever, they don't want to come back on because they're eating or they're, you know, they're not focusing on the job at hand with their batting. I'd like that just in that, not in the gap between innings.
You do know that they're 8.
Some of them are 6. That's... You can laugh as much as you like. I'm not laughing. This is about setting standards and setting a very strong foundation about discipline and about focus.
Have you ever heard more garbage in your life, Adam Romanaskis, former Bombers champion, these days manager to the Stars? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know what? Whitey's disappointed.
Why is that?
Because he's usually out there umpiring, sort of coaching, and there's no food left for him.
Oh, he nearly lost it. He nearly lost it going around the corner over there.
That's simply because he's out there in the middle of the pitch instructing.
Yep, that's a
and he
very
sees
good
all
point.
The kids eating all this food that he's very jealous of because they're his go-to foods.
That's a very, very
strong point.
There's
pizza there. There's lollies there. There's chocolate bars there. There's all sorts of options. And he gets disappointed because when he walks off the field after the game, it's all gone.
No,
and now the parents are having a beer or a wine, and we know Whitey doesn't do any of that that sort of stuff. So he's looking for the food, and it's gone.
Well done. That's a very good
There's
call.
A fruit platter, which we know he won't go anywhere near.
No one's interested in that, no. That's not...
There was an incident.
When?
Last year, where
Emma
goodness. Ordered pizza.
For
our family, for Friday Night Cricket.
This would be good.
And Ram, as you quite rightly said, I was unable to eat it hot. And she said, your dinner's there. There's cold pizza in a box.
How'd that go down?
Well, it didn't go down very well at all, and it hasn't been repeated. We eat as a family, so you wait until I'm ready, and we eat together.
Well, what are your pizza options?
Pretty minimal, really.
Yeah, that's a good question for this man in particular.
Hawaiian,
that's Hawaiian,
and then you mix that with chicken on the Hawaiian. So.
Hawaiian pizza with chicken.
Yep.
Let's get chicken pizza with pineapple.
And then
chicken pizza with pineapple. That's your second option.
meat lovers
with chicken,
guaranteed.
Yep.
That's where it ends.
That's it.
Yep. One of those two.
Don't go
maybe go half-half.
You don't get a lot? Capriccioso?
Nah, I'm not having that sort of stuff on my pizza.
Anchovies?
No chance. Nah.
No furry fish. Furry fish at the key. Yeah.
Margarita?
Furry
yeah, margaritas
fish at the
are right, but that's a bit boring.
Yeah. Olives?
Yeah. No. I've told you, they're my two.
That's it.
Tropical or Hawaiian, depending on how you want to tropical.
Tropical.
Well, some places call it tropical.
It's like the Tropicana pack from Red Rooster.
What's in that?
That had the chicken in there. That
didn't
had
they have
the,
like
oh, the pizza
the battered pineapple?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, leave me out of that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Leave me out of that.
Two. We'll probably have it tonight, to be honest.
Did you measure millage yesterday? when the rain came in, when that band of weather came in. It's questions off the SMS about millage.
There was a second wave that came through, which wasn't as significant, but it, because the wind was so strong, it came and went quite quickly, didn't it? So
we had on
8.8 in the city gauge. And just looking around town, we didn't really get too many double figures. Fernie Creek, who missed out on Wednesday night, got 11.6 yesterday. But really, we're sort of, half an inch is probably as good as it got, really.
We copped it out Essendon way on Wednesday.
You got a lot.
42 mil.
42 mil?
Yeah.
Even I know that's a lot.
Yeah, we copped it.
Right.
Whereas you only got 3.4 yesterday.
Mm. But a nice light show. The lightning was spectacular.
Spectacular, yeah. Yeah. Well, that was sort of got us off the cricket pitch on Wednesday afternoon, the lightning.
Mm.
A man saw some forks across the way and said, hey, we're not playing in these conditions.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I guarantee we're going to potentially lose.
We're never going to lose.
No,
we were never going to lose.
That was a very safe and responsible decision. Because if we'd stayed out there much longer, there could have been some problems.
Speaking of Wednesdays, an SMS has come through. And there's a few getting into the system early doors. So thank you for sending them through. We'll get to as many of those as we can through the morning. Questions need to be asked of Whitey. What is worse, cricket attire? Alistair Nicholson's Pizza Man white T-shirt.
No, that's a disgrace.
Or Whitey's orange shoes and New York Yankees baseball cap. Setting standards?
Yeah, no, we didn't set standards. That's an excellent SMS. We should get some... If we had a prize, we'd give a prize.
No, I'm going to find that key today.
Because
the key to the cupboard. I'll find it today.
I was really disappointed in Alistair. He's played enough now to realise he needs a collar on that shirt. That white T-shirt situation, that's 1984 under 14s.
I must admit.
It's not acceptable.
Yeah. For one of the voices of cricket in this country to rock up to the Albert Ground looking like a painter.
Yeah.
He looked like he's fresh, overalls.
Come fresh out of his painting job. With a roof rack, with a ladder on the roof, and a couple of rollers just hanging out the back window, it was quite unusual from our man, the pizza cutter painter man. And then our man's wearing the leader of the team, leader of men, rocks up in red shoes.
That's normal.
The MCC,
standard.
Said this is unacceptable.
Yeah,
I got feedback as a colleague of his.
Standard now
in the social
for Whitey. He wears those shoes. He loves those shoes.
He does love those
shoes. Statement shoes.
Yeah.
Statement shoes.
Very comfortable. What I did notice, there was a photo of yourself, Al Nicholson, and Scotty Gallant.
Yes.
Scotty was very friendly, had the arm on the shoulder, but the hair out of the floppy hat, that looked spectacular.
He was in yesterday as well. It's getting more luscious and delicious every time I see him.
Yeah. A lot of grey in there, but that's okay.
No, nothing wrong with a bit of salt and pepper.
Yeah, but it was luscious. Flowing locks.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's dead set gorgeous, although he does suggest that it may be coming off soon.
Oh.
I'd be disappointed to see it.
Summer, long hair. Yeah, I haven't had that problem since 1982, 83.
I feel your pain there, brother. I feel your pain.
I've got major issues with my situation too because...
Cindy, what's you up to?
No, I've been sort of just fiddling around with a few things with the hair. Just see.
Trust me, it doesn't look like it.
No. And Emma actually said to me yesterday, this is a true story, she said, I don't know what you're trying to do with your hair, but whatever you're trying, it's not working.
Oh,
that's fairly aggressive feedback.
And it was very aggressive. So I was sort of going with a sort of a fuller body look, see how it goes, and just got absolutely hammered.
So what's the plan?
Well,
grow it out more.
No. she was ruthless. She said, I understand you haven't got a lot to work with, that you're restricted, but she said, whatever you're doing,
you're restricted.
Yeah.
So you go down to Barber this afternoon?
No,
or?
I don't know.
For cricket?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, how do you deal with that sort of stuff? You know, last work day of the year for you, on air anyway, and you get that sort of feedback coming.
It doesn't look quite healthy.
Well, it looks
healthy.
Looks nice. Are you trying something? What are you trying to do? I mean,
no, I'm not sure.
Lifting up the front, like
this
sort of style, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
real sort of 1968 sort of
real
popper
of
look.
A quaff at the top.
No, it's no good.
It's like a quaff.
I've got to be honest. Dude. In the 15 odd years that I've known you, it just looks the same every day to me.
Well, you tell me what I can do with this stuff. Not much.
Maybe like a skin fade or something like that. Half. What do you
anyway.
Think? Now, we need to know a few things. I'm not sure if you're listening yesterday, Rammer, but there was an incident at Whitey's house on Wednesday.
My house.
Yeah, yeah. when he bought a bed from a box.
I didn't buy the bed.
Well, the family bought a bed from a box.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
One's a... They just disappear in this big, messy...
Yeah, knocks people out. Yes. Throws them into walls.
He bought a bed from a box, and he didn't like what he'd come across. He slept on it and felt like he was on a park bench.
Yeah.
So the question is, coming thick and fast off this mess, they're concerned about your health and well-being. About night two.
Never been more tired in my life.
So I've got a solution for you.
Yeah, sleep on the floor.
No. You get... one of those mattress toppers.
Here we go. This is the next question. Did you get the topper?
The topper hasn't arrived yet. It's been delayed. We got a $50 credit voucher.
Yeah, but you know you can just walk into a shop and buy a topper.
No, we've ordered the topper.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, you can walk into a shop.
The topper sounds really exciting. I don't even know what the topper is.
But we need the topper.
You got the egg one?
I don't know what we've got.
Yeah, you can get a couple of different ones. There's an egg one.
What's an egg one? What do you mean?
Like, you know...
The Princess and the Pea sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's got the... You know, sort of like the holes in it along it. It's like, you know, it feels like it's massaging you. You get the memory foam one. There's all different styles.
You're talking like a box of eggs sort of thing?
No, it's just...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got into the bed last night.
Well, it's good.
It's like an egg carton.
Yeah.
And no. I said to Emma, you know what?
What'd you say?
I said love. I said, you know, I'd been reflecting the last day thinking, geez, that bed's hard. And I thought maybe I was just making it up. Maybe I was overreacting. No, I'm not. It is ridiculous. It's not a bed.
Well, it is a bed.
It's a slab of concrete. Seriously, I want you to come over and lie on the bed.
It's going to be creepy now. Like, I'm all for a good time, all for sharing and caring, but this is going to be creepy now.
It's unbelievable.
No doubt Em would want that, but not.
Remarkable.
I don't know about this. I don't know if we need to go this. I don't know about this. Raymond, just help me out here.
Well, last show of the year, sort of... That's the first step over summer. Good story, first show back.
Time to heal.
Yeah.
We can peg it back over 6 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of calls on the line that I want to get involved in the conversation today. 1-300-652-927. George and Layla.
We haven't heard from George
for ages. The champ is here. George, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Mate, we are well. How are you doing, buddy?
It's been 2 years since you've come to my place.
Well, you haven't invited us back, George. We must have done something wrong.
Oh, man, that's it, mate. That was a one-off, you know, and that's it. That I enjoyed it so much, I said, no, I'm not going to do it again.
One show only.
Yes, that was quite good. And really, you know, it's been very tough after that, you know. We had COVID-19, we had the Delta, now we've got Omicron, you know. But we, you know, to your credit, you people, you just kept going and going, which is great. And today's your last day.
Yeah, just for this year, Georgie, it is. That's right. Yeah, well, that's our job, isn't it? To get up every morning, give you some information and entertainment. That's our job, Georgie. Yeah, that's what we try and do.
One of your best listeners, I decided to ring you up and wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. And I honestly believe that next year will be a bonza year, you know, with Cornwall especially, because they've got a new coach, they're going to have a new president and also a new captain. But that'll be next year.
Bonza. I haven't heard Bonza for a while, George, but I want to use it more on this program, so thank you for that, buddy. Have you got a Christmas quaddy for us?
No, it's too early for Christmas, so, you know, we'll pick it up a bit later.
Right, I will do that. Hey, mate, nice to chat to you.
Lester will do that for you. This is your last show. You've got to come good this week.
Yeah. So, George, you retired from punting a while ago.
I haven't retired, but I'm not as enthusiastic as I used to be, you know. Because really now people take, you know, like I said, they take a lot of horses, they get a small percentage and they destroy the racing industry altogether. So I do have a bet, but just for a hobby.
Do you still keep your records?
Oh, yes, I keep my record. I'm pushing up close to the 6,000 mark, which is not bad.
That's not bad.
Well, that's very good, George. Hey, George, it's lovely to hear from you, mate. Merry Christmas to you and your family through the next little while as well.
Keep on punching, boys.
You're a good man. George and Layla, one of our all-time favourites around these parts. That was a good breakfast a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
George's house. Excellent.
Imagine if Dino had it rocked up.
Oh.
He might have melted.
No, he would have melted.
There might have been a puddle.
We saw him at his dinner.
Would have been interesting, Dino seeing the shrine in the corner to himself,
though. Poor old George completely lost the plot, didn't he, talking to him down the line.
Yeah.
It was real. He got the shakes.
I'm sure there's a puddle somewhere. Race number 6 is the first leg of the quaddie tomorrow, the Schweppes David Burke Memorial 1,200-metre race. $150,000 up for grabs, Dino, and there are 11 going around tomorrow with equal favourites at this stage, according to the tab in the newspaper. We've got Ranting, for the Corstens camp, be wary, and Ocean Beyond for Dan Bowman. 440 equal favourites at tab.com.au.
Yeah, and I think they've both got very good chances, Daniel, but I think there's one at a little bit of value here in number four, Munitions, who is an import for the Godolphin team. We haven't seen him win in Australia, but he hasn't run in a lot of really suitable races. And I think first up, he ran very well at Flemington, and he finished well ahead of Ranting on that occasion. He's since been back to the trials, trialled well, and I just think that time between runs, they've really aimed up at this race, and I think he's got a terrific chance of winning Munitions. But respecting Ocean Beyond, who found the right race at Ballarat, got a good run from Harry Coffey and got the money. Stays on the limit weight here from a good draw, and I think will run well again. Ranting, it's been probably a frustration for the Connections. He's only won the one race. It was a good race, the Blue Sapphire, but his last run was quite good with a big weight. Gets down to the limit weight, and Jamie Carr back, of course, today riding at Mornington, and got a very good chance here with Ranting on the limit weight. And I'm putting in Blaise Jowski. I think probably the 1,000 metres and the really wet track was against him first up. He'll be fitter for that run, and he's got a genuine chance. So I think they're the four main chances, but I do think Munitions is a little bit of value in the market.
Is Ranting the one that was in that three-horse?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they haven't come out of that race very well,
no.
Those horses.
It's because going into that race, I remember, Dino, you talking about that race, and they were almost spruik horses, those three, and nothing's really happened for any of them since.
Well, two of them went to stud, so
That's unhelpful.
They've been busy doing other things. They've enjoyed themselves. But, and Ranting, he's probably racing to stay that sort of prospect further down the track.
Quinny, what are they saying at the tab of the punters?
Munitions has been popular, $11 into $7. Now the third elect at that quote. Ocean Beyond, $4.40, and Ranting, $4.60. And Ranting to be steered by Jamie Carr. She's got some good book of rides this weekend. What do you make of Jamie's comeback? Do you think she'll bounce back with a few winners, Dino?
I'd say if the trials are any guide, she'll hit the ground running. The horses are running very smoothly for the trials, and she looks ready to go.
Rightio. Jamie's back, ready to go, says Dina, and that's good business. Rama, you've got one job around these parts.
That's
to summarise the numbers as they are read by, or spoken about by Dino, every leg of the quaddie. Can you please recap the numbers for race number six, the first leg of the quaddie tomorrow for Pakenham Cup Day?
4, 8, 6, and 1.
4, 8, 6, and 1, which leads us into the second leg, which is the feature event on the card, the Sportsbet Pakenham Cup over the 2,500 metres. $300,000 listed affair, worth winning every day of the week. And we've got 14 going around, Dino, at this stage. That's what's happening. And Smoke and Romance from the May Eustace camp with Jamie back in the saddle is favourite at the tab at 360, which sort of suggests there's a little bit of openness about this market. What say you?
Yeah, I say very open, Daniel. I would think might start a little bit longer than that, but I think the May Eustace stable, as they tend to do, they're the leading stable, but they really dominate these longer races, and I think they've got the two better chances here. I think Mankayan's got a great chance. I loved his win at Cranbourne. There was a moment there that, was he going to run another second, or did he want to put his head out? And I thought the last 100 metres he really got to the line well, and he got that win on the board. Smoke and Romans just never runs a bad race. He's a remarkable horse. He hasn't raced for a few weeks, but that doesn't stop the May Eustace horses from running well. I think Skyman's an interesting runner. I think if you look at his form, I think his last five or six runs, he hasn't drawn outside barrier three, and he's drawn one a lot. And he's now drawn out wider, and I think they'll ride him a lot quieter. And Chris Waller has just tinkered with the gear here, taking the blinkers off. I wouldn't be surprised if he improves a bit off his Ballarat Cup run, which was still good. But I think off a really quiet ride, he could improve sharply. 10 team captain was very good winning on Melbourne Cup Day, and he's flying along for the new stable. He's had two goes for Matt Kamani, won the Hamilton Cup and won on Melbourne Cup Day. He's a chance, but I'll be putting in two in a twinkling, who's ticking over well for Lindsay Smith. Both of his runs have been good, and out to the trip that really suits gives him a chance. And 14, Mimi's Award, who'll need a good ride from Brett Preble from the outside draw, but she's ready to get to this sort of distance. She won a South Australian Fillies Classic at this distance. She might be next best. So I think it's a bit more open than even the market suggests, but Mara and Eustace are in the box seat.
Would you expect a bit of fluctuation in these markets, Quinny? And has there been a favoured horse at this stage?
Well, Smoke and Romans wasn't really in the market at the start of the week, but reopened at $3.50 following final field. Got out to $3.70 and has been $3.70 back into $3.50. The best backed runner at this stage is the second elect team captain, $8 into $4.40. Then Mankayan, a $4.60 chance. Dino, who do you think will start favourite?
I'm thinking Mankayan might because he's got the recent form, but there's not a lot between four or five of them. Even team captain, because he was so impressive on Melbourne Cup Day, he might be the one that they even gravitate to. So, yeah, being favourites up for grabs and certainly winning the race is even more so.
Is it a good Pakenham Cup edition, Dino, quality-wise?
It's even. I'll put six in the quaddie, so yep. I think it's an even race. We haven't got a horse rating above 100, which you'd like to try and see in these sort of races. Future Score at 97 and Inner Twinkling at 97 head the weight. So I think you would like maybe a little higher top rater, but other than that, no, I think the depth's quite good.
Well, and Quinny's very happy because I've just had a look at his tips in the paper, Dino, and he has selected Mankayan as well. So all of a sudden, up and about, our man sitting in the car by himself, speaking to himself. That's good business, Quinny. Nice work from you. But he did mention...
Chuffed would be the word I'd just
chuffed.
Use.
Yeah. It's a good word. What do we have? We had Bonza. George Bonza. Used Bonza this morning, which was an excellent use of that.
How good to hear George's voice.
Wasn't it nice?
Yes.
Wasn't it nice? One day we're going to get you to his house, Dino. He'll melt. It's going to be funny.
One on one.
I think that's dangerous.
One on one with the great one. George being the great one. That's what he'd say anyway. That's what he'd say. Rabbo, can you please give us the numbers for the second leg of the quality of the Sportsbet Pakenham Cup, the feature event on the card tomorrow at Pakenham?
6, 8, 5, 10, 2, and 14.
There you go. Six of the best. 6, 8, 5, 10, 2, and 14. Two legs down. Let's get to the third leg of the quaddie tomorrow, the Racing.com Vobis Gold Bullion, 1,400-metre affair, $175,000 up for grabs for these four-year-old and up thoroughbreds. There's been a scratching. Number 4, Strategic Phil, is out for David Brightag. So you don't need to put that into calculations, which leaves us with 10 more, Dino. And number 1, Yulong January for the Mayor Eustace camp with John McNeil, Melbourne Cup winning jockey in the saddle, is $260 favourite at tab.com.au.
Yeah, I think he's a good favourite, Daniel. He's a very talented 1,400-metre horse. He's a previous winner of this race. I would say a real target race for him because it's great money under the set weights and penalties to start off his summer campaign. He just gets through these 1,400-metre summer races so effectively. He makes his own luck up on the pace. He's clearly the best rated horse in the race and weighted accordingly. He's very well placed, I think. He'll take a lot of beating. He'll dare them to beat him. He'll be out in front, and they'll have to run him down. Interesting visitor here looks like Elvis. We've seen him here before in Melbourne, and he's raced well. He's had a series of runs on wet ground. I think he'll get onto a drier track tomorrow, and he'll improve. Well, he doesn't have to improve a lot because he's running well, but he'll go better on the drier ground, and I think he's the danger. And one other, I'm not going to put a lot of numbers in because I don't want to wreck the industry like George was suggesting earlier. Number 11, Way to Go Paula, is the other one I'll be including. She was an absolute good thing if she'd accepted in race two on the program, but she's running for the slightly better money and hence she's got a bigger task. But her run at Ballarat was really encouraging and she's next best. But I think Yulong January's just got too much class for this field. And even though he's first up, he looks to have trialled up well and I think he'll be hard to beat.
I've got an SMS about George's theory before to get your take on that. Is there an element of truth about that from George or is it a bit far-fetched?
Flexi betting is great that everyone can have a part of it, but it has diminished the dividends.
Okay. Well, George is onto something. Learned man, too learned. Look at that conversation. That would be special getting those two together.
Do you think if Dano went to George's house, it'd be like the movie Misery?
If I'd seen that movie, I might.
No, I haven't seen Misery.
What's Misery?
It doesn't sound good.
She loves the author of a book and she holds him hostage for.
Oh,
days and days and days. Breaks his ankles, does all sorts of things.
It's getting worse for poor old Dino here. Well, we don't encourage that.
That's not
that
very
kidding.
Nice.
That's a genuine question.
I was sort of thinking Frost versus Nixon or something, one of those sort of movies. But
I was thinking Mannequin. on the back.
What about Mickey Thomas? Eh? Birthday today, Dan.
Yes, yes, Mickey Thomas.
He was in weddings, partings, anything. Do you know that?
Did you know the formula bit got up about 15 weeks in a row?
And it rained in Ballarat.
And it rained in Ballarat. It's been a long year. Quinny, have we talked to you about this market yet?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to doing so. And Yulong January has been popular, $3 into 260, the clear favourite now at that quote. Way to go, Paula, on the second line of betting at 360. And there's been a move for the McAvoy-trained winning partner, $11 into 650. Has been racing well across Adelaide and Melbourne. What did you make of winning partner, Dino?
He's suited by the big track. I would have loved him to have drawn a bit wider, and he's a bit one-dimensional. He'll get back and he'll be running on. So at some stage, I think he'll be conceding a fair start to Yulong January, and I think Yulong January is probably the better horse. But he's more a place chance for me, winning partner.
All right, just a place chance winning partner. We've got our numbers. We just need to recap them with Rammer for race number 8, the third leg of the quaddie tomorrow at Pakenham. Rammer?
1, 3 and 11.
The last leg of the quaddie is coming up, the Sports Bet with Mates 2,000 metre affair. Benchmark 38. Not 38, 78.
38?
That was a low-grading race. That's a pretty crap race, Dino. Yeah. That's a pretty crap race, the Benchmark 38 affair. Let's call it 78 between friends. 130,000 bucks up for grabs. And we have 15 going around, Dino. And at the tab at this stage, number 5, Kissinger. For your mate Lindsay, with 58.5 kegs on board, is favourite at tab.com.au at around about 350.
Yes, with a couple of kilos less for young Matty Cartwright.
Oh, yes.
This was just a horrible watch on Ballarat Cup Day. Should have won easily, Kissinger, and it was no fault of Matt Cartwright. He lined up and got right behind the $1.90 favourite in LCO, ridden by Damien Oliver, so you'd think that was a good plan. And at about the 500, LCO was out of tickets, and Kissinger had nowhere to go, and from there he sort of just kept trying to find a way through, and got beaten less than a length and never really got to his top. I think with reasonable luck, he'd have won that race. And that was an 84 grade race. Back to a 78 grade. He'll be hard to beat from Takumi, I think, is an improvement. He's big odds, but it's about the time of year he starts to fire. And I thought his last run was at least encouraging. Johnny Allen to ride, knows him well. And I'm going to put Russo in as well, who won at the Valley last week. He's going well. I think the bigger track will actually suit him, and he's a chance. But, I think Kissinger's going to be very hard to beat. Big field, but he's the one to beat.
All right, pretty straightforward there, says Dino. Quinny, what do you say?
Well, Kissinger's been popular, currently $3.50. But just looking at Riser here, Dino, I think Russo's come out as well. So do we put another runner in that final leg, or do we go even more boldly and aggressively?
The horse that I would put in next would be Sol Peter was the next one that was on my list. So we will put him in, number 8. So it's numbers 5. So I won't do Rammer's job.
So you've got to throw in Rammer. You've got to throw in number 8, please. Throw in number 8, two of those numbers if you can. So you're saying that Rosso's out, Quinny, is that what you're saying?
Just check the scratchings on Riser, and it's listed as scratch, but it hasn't come out.
Scratch is 701.
Okay. All right. So you can take out number 12 in the last league tomorrow. Do we do the market with you, Quinny?
Well, Kissinger's been popular, 380 into 350, and we'll tighten up even further following the deductions that will be applied there with the second leg coming out. If you're chasing one at odds, there has been a little bit of money around for Court Deep, $11 into 9, but hopefully Kissinger can send us all home a winner tomorrow.
All right, so that is the last leg of the quaddie. Rammer, can you give us the numbers, please?
5, 7 and 8.
5, 7 and 8. Now, you're not going to believe this. At 6:07, they started missing them, but there's a fair bit of feedback from our listeners who just wander through this segment. I don't know why, but I'm not able to focus and concentrate off the SMS. Please help. I'm locked in the prize cupboard. From what I remember, it's in the HR department, but it's been so long since I've seen the outside world. Is Donald still president? I missed the quaddie numbers. Can you please help me? Says Warren. Could you please repeat the quaddie numbers? I dosed off after the first leg, so I haven't had a decent night's sleep since the missus bought a new bed. Says Tom in Ballarat, a bit like Whitey's house. Stewie in East Bentley says, can you please repeat the quaddie numbers? I'm still busy searching for the cricket balls Whitey launched into the tennis courts at the Albert on Wednesday.
Wallop!
That's what he was doing, walloping MM. Sorry, boys, missed the quaddie numbers because I was peeling an orange. That's interesting feedback. But who doesn't love an orange in the morning? Can you repeat the quality numbers, Rammer? Didn't hear my boy drop the mic in Dino's numbers in race 8. Was hoping for a Rammer Ruffy tag from the Baker. Well, we haven't got to the Ruffy yet, Baker, so just chill out. We don't know what that is just yet. Boys, please repeat the quality numbers. Spilt my Chardonnay whilst on the picnic rug on the third fairway at Northcote. Nice work. I missed the quality numbers because I slept in, had to move to the couch at 4 a.m. as I failed to get to sleep for the second night in a row on the new concrete slab. That's from Adam in Templestowe. Jezra and Wang says, fellas, I missed the quality numbers as I was counting all my winnings from the Friday spring form tips and listening to the highlights of the Breakfast Club 2021. Sensational. The Prayers says, you wouldn't believe this half. Missed the quality numbers. I heard we built this city this morning on the radio. Ran off the road. Flashbacks to the worst rockout selection in history. And this one has just come through. Hi, gents. Unbelievable. I've missed the quality numbers as I'm up cleaning up after Elf on the Shelf tore the joint to shreds overnight. Thank you, John, for that.
The Elf's back in our house, too.
Is he shelving?
Well, he was tabling yesterday.
Right. They're pesky little things, aren't they? They cause havoc, they do. So fair to say, there's some people out there, Rammer, that have missed the quality numbers, and we would like to support them for this Christmas period and give them the appropriate numbers for Pakenham Cup Day tomorrow. What are they, please?
Okay, race 6, 4, 8, 6 and 1. Race 7, 6, 8, 5, 10, 2 and 14. Race 8, 1, 3 and 11. And then race 9, 5, 7 and 8.
All right, they are numbers for Pakenham Cup Day tomorrow for the quaddie. Let's have a look and see what Dino's been able to find for one of our lucky listeners in the formula bet for this week. Dino, who are you playing for and what are you doing?
Playing for K1 Magsudi of Doncaster, and for K1, a $40 roll-up bet the win. $40 the win, I should say, on race 8, number 1, Yulong January. $40 the win, race 9, number 5, Kissinger. $40 on the all-up of the pair, race 8, number 1, into race 9, number 5, for K1 Magsudi of Doncaster.
Good luck to you, K1. Race 8, number 1, race 9, number 5, Quinny. What does that come to at the tab, please?
Yulong January, $2.60. Kissinger, $3.50. The all-up comes to $9.10.
$9.10, that's nice. That'd be a nice way to finish proceedings on the Breakfast Club for 2021. So good luck to you, K1. 8-1 into 9-5. $9.10 for the formula bet today. You can still register, by the way, at the website rsn.net.au. It'll continue through the summer on Summer Brekkie on RSN. So get yourself involved on the competitions page at the website. Time for the Rammer Ruffy.
Ready to sting the bookies? This is Rammer's Ruffy for the all-new Kia Stinger. Fine-tuned for Australian conditions. Book a thrill ride and experience the new Kia Stinger today.
Very, very excellent car, the Kia Stinger, and you fine-tune your experience here on the Friday Form with Dino's Rammer Ruffy, where we just search for a little bit of value for the punters. Dino, what have you come up with tomorrow?
Yeah, it's only a little bit of value, Daniel, but I think in a competitive race to start the program at Pakenham tomorrow, I think this horse is about fifth favourite in a field of nine, so we'll make him the value. Race 1, number 3, High and Dry. I think for Matty Ellerton, I think he's absolutely ready to win. Big track, dry track, I think he's got a great chance.
Race 1, number 3, High and Dry at the tab is
$9 the win, or if you want to continue the hot streak of backing them the place, which has been like finding money in the street, $2.40 to fill a hole.
$9 and $2.40 for race 1, number 3, High and Dry, our last Breakfast Club Rammer Ruffy for the season. Are you happy with that, Rammer?
Always happy with that.
Oh, no, just checking, because it is your segment.
No,
it is your
always
little,
happy
is your little
with
bit.
That.
Hey, Dino, we're done. We're done the year. Thank you, mate, for everything you do for us. We love having you on Friday Form with us, and you add an enormous amount to our show, and I hope you enjoy it, because we love having you on.
It's great fun, Daniel, every Friday morning, and we'll keep ploughing on through summer and hopefully find a few winners while you enjoy a well-earned break.
Well, yes, that is well-earned. You'll have to put up with Scotty Gallen. He'll pester you like nothing else.
Yes. He'll want to bring a lot of G-Town horses into the equation.
There'll be a lot of Rosemont stud Griffins being mentioned by Scotty in the Friday Form.
Yeah, and unless something happens in the next 7 days, if we go on Zoom, he'll look like Cousin It looking at those photos the other day.
Well, there might be some trimmage, we're not quite sure, but we'll see how it all unfolds. But the Friday Form won't go anywhere. We will for a couple of weeks, but the Friday Form will be back next week with Dino and Quinny. But thanks, mate. Appreciate all your support through the year. Look forward to catching up with you very soon.
Thank you, Daniel.
Dean Lester is the world's greatest form analyst, and we love him around these parts. And we love Quinny as well, who's going to be joining us a little bit later on for the sports update. But Quinny, what is your best tomorrow?
I'm with you long January, so I'm not going to change now. I'll let Dino ride my coattails. I'll let him do it on this one occasion to end the year.
Time to focus our attention on the summer of Australian rules football. The AFLW released their fixture yesterday for season 2022. Well, most of it anyway. 9 out of the 10 rounds. What's going on there? Is Nicole Livingston, the boss of the AFLW, joins us. Good morning, Nick.
You have to wait a few more days for round 10. That's like the little extra Christmas present when you've got birthday and Christmas around the same time.
Right. So you've got to separate them. Is that how it works?
Look, round 9 and round 10 are floating, which I know you know. So your team will know who they're playing, but they won't know the time that they're playing all day. So we'll lock that away by about round 4 in the AFLW season. But round 10's wrapped up in something pretty special, half. And even though we go way back, I can't tell you.
What?
I know. It's going to be good, though. It's going to be really exciting.
Now, we know that there was some fluidity in the fixture this season just gone because of the COVID situation and the challenges that borders and all that sort of stuff caused the competition. Is this why there's been a little bit of floating, or is it another reason?
Floating at the back end is just to make sure that we know the matchup, so just to make sure that we maximise best broadcast slots as well. So we're starting in a really busy time frame in the sporting landscape. You know, half, that we were trying to start in December. I'm glad that we did delay to January because it just has meant the national picture of borders is a little better than it was in December. It's to make sure that we have the best broadcast slots because there's a little less sport there, particularly round 10, because that's the round that the men's side of the business have a week off, so we're really hoping that all football fans flock to the AFLW.
Nicole, you talk about those national borders, but the tricky one still is WA.
Yeah.
How tricky was that for you guys to organise, particularly the early rounds?
So we've kept in touch, obviously, with the two clubs. So the WA clubs will stay in WA for 2 to 3 weeks. The two clubs had slightly different requests on how long to stay, and then they'll come out for 15 to 16 days and play 3 games during that period of time. So we've also kept really close with discussions with the WA government and WAPOL as well. We, as you guys know, we've got really strong procedures and protocols around our competitions, and AFLW is no different. We've got really strong and robust testing as well around our competition. So being able to assure that and demonstrate what we're going to do has put us in a good position with the WA government. But we will continue to talk to them, we'll continue to listen, and we'll continue to adjust as necessary to be able to keep a national competition going.
The opening round, the opening game's always important. You've gone with St Kilda and Richmond in Frankston as the opening game. No, hang on. why was that game chosen, and why was it chosen to be in Frankston?
My favourite tweet yesterday was Friday night footy in Franger.
Yeah.
That was Kate McCarthy. So we have a great opening round. So there has been some further complexities that we've been working around. Icon Park's under redevelopment. Witten's having some redevelopment as well. RSEA Park's out of action. In Queensland, we still have Springwood that's being built, so the Lions are in Maroochydore. We're sending half there for a little mini holiday in round 2. Frankston is... Have you been there? Have you had a look at it? It's incredible. It's brand new lights, brand new deck. They've spent a lot of money on it, and in fact, they're probably one of the best satellites for broadcasts around. It's also really close, and we're in school holidays. Train that can get you there to the game, but also close to the Mornington Peninsula. So we feel really confident that we'll be able to fill that 8,000 capacity. And then a big Saturday and Sunday with Bulldogs Melbourne on Saturday under lights at Witten, and then the Blues and the Pies Sunday. That's going to be a really nice afternoon, Sunday, Carlton Collingwood.
Now, I'm going to get the elephant in the room out of the way. Half came in this morning and he was just upset.
Grumpy?
He was really upset.
Group of death.
He was, and you mentioned, Nicole, that you and Half go way back, but he was sort of swearing under his breath, and he said, "We've got the hardest draw," and he just wants to know, are you really friends?
Half, you know that you have to be able to play anyone in the competition, any time, any venue, and win to win the premiership.
You're not buying that rubbish from him, are you? You're not buying that rubbish from an Essendon person, are you?
Yeah, you'll find Essendon the next year. We'll look after them in the future.
Yes, that's right.
No, don't look after them. Really put them to the sword. That's what you need to do. But that's next year. That's next year. Are there some fixed venues that you're really excited about being a part of this year, the AFLW? Because there's a few newies.
There are a few new venues. Henson Park in Sydney, I'm really excited about. The Swans have earmarked that as their home as of 2023, but the Giants are just sneaking in. It's in I think it's Marrickville. I want to say Marrickville. It's Rugby League Heartland. Has been a rugby league venue forever, and the council have supported AFLW to move in there because Rugby League have moved out. So really excited about that. And let's just fingers and toes crossed we don't get lightning and thunder and everything else that we normally get in Sydney in an inner city venue.
So, Nicole, just next year, you mentioned Essendon coming in, but there's obviously a few other teams coming in, so four new teams. Throughout next year, are you expecting to see certain things from those teams in terms of list build, where they're playing, what they're doing? What do they have to show you next year?
I know everyone in footy listens to RSN, so they're probably more waiting for us. So expansion list rules, I believe, will be out before Christmas. So they're waiting on us and the rest of the 14 clubs to actually send those out to explain how those four clubs are going to do their list build. So obviously we have sign and trade that's on after our competition finishes as well. So that will move pretty quickly. New South Wales AFL are putting on a little competition in January through to March to be able to try to showcase talent. So there's lots of things going on. Port Adelaide's in a really good spot. They've just got $15 million out of the government to redo Alberton. And they're going to go full steam ahead as well. And we know that Essendon and Hawthorn have had VFLW programs. So the hangar is done. And then Hawthorn's obviously got some redevelopments going on as well that we look forward to eventually really playing a big part in AFLW. They're in really good positions, varying positions, but they're, you know, they're announcing staff, heads of football, coaches will be named soon. So I think they're tracking pretty well.
Nicole, hesitating in asking this question because we're all sort of over COVID, but just with how the competition will play out, are you nervous about the fact that we've still got 1,000 cases sort of every day in Melbourne particularly, and this whole thing about the girls being sort of part-time footballers working in society on a daily basis? How do you think it'll play out?
Well, first of all, I think as a nation, personally, I think we just need to learn to live with COVID. I think I've spoken to you guys before about being overseas around the Olympics time, and the rest of the world is learning to live with it. And I mean that with respect to those that have been impacted or lost family members. So from our point of view, we do need to figure out how it just becomes a little more normal, like a soft tissue injury and you're out for a week. You know, so we're doing lots of testing and we'll have really strong protocols. But, yes, they do have other jobs. So we'll have some thresholds. We're discussing those at the moment. Every club has 10 train-on players as well that's working with them once a week. So, you know, it's important to note that there are some other players. There's 140 players across the nation. So there are some other players that are around. I think we just need to play on. If we can field 16, and they're our numbers on field, 16 and 5 on the bench, then we play on. So we've got to get this season done. It's 10-3. It's short, it's sharp, it'll be over before you know it, and we need to do the best to get it completed.
And is that one of the reasons why the fixture has taken a while to come out, is that there's just been so many complexities behind the scenes that you couldn't do it until you were certain about how it all play out?
Yeah, it's actually a week early. So our agreement with the AFLPA is to have it released within 4 weeks of the season starting so that players can make arrangements for their work holidays, their other jobs.
Yep.
So we're actually delivering it at 5 weeks. So we're pretty comfortable with where we've delivered it with a January 7th start.
I'm very happy we've got David Hussey, the coach of the Melbourne Stars, on the line, ready to talk about the Big Bash summer for him and his boys. He's with us again. Huss, good morning.
Morning, Half, and he's up on Maisie. He's been over the pump. He's been awesome since he's arrived. He's been great.
What's he added to the organisation, Huss?
Talk humour. Not a lot of hair, but humour. bit of structure. He's been good. He's getting to know the guys, and they've already developed relationships, which is already beneficial for the group.
If it was Whitey in that role, he'd be pushing to bat number six for the Stars. has he suggested he's a chance in the lineup?
I actually texted Whitey a few times a couple of years ago about is he seeing anything differently or am I missing anything? So maybe he's more tactical now. Is backroom staff is more his go than an actual player.
Huss, why would you do that? You should see the smile on Whitey's face right now. He's sitting there like, I told you, boys. I told you, all the greats always text me.
Well, it's sort of confidential, that sort of stuff. You just sort of don't say too much.
But when you get out for a duck in the media game, you spend a lot of time with the people around you. So I end up chatting to Whitey and I respect his views on the game.
There you go.
Well, you shouldn't have been out for a duck in the first place. That's a topic for another day, Huss. How are things coming along? You've had a couple of games this week with the academy and warm-up games, getting ready for Sunday against the Sixers. Are you happy with what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's been really, really good. It's been hectic, but very good. Two games against the Renegades on Tuesday, one game against the Hobart Hurricanes, which we went down by 15, 20 runs in the end. But a lot of good signs. We've got another game again against the Renegades, their first team this time, and we're winding up, I guess you could say, for the start of the season. The whole goal for these last few games is the medium intensity with the just one eye looking for Sunday's game against the Sydney Sixers, who, in my view, they're the favourites.
I look at your squad, and I can't see how you don't perform really well in this Big Bash competition. Is that, do you have that expectation as well with the list?
Well, I just ask the boys to compete every time they go out to play and pull on the Stars jerseys to compete. There's going to be a few falafels going on left, right and centre, but just go there, compete, take all the pressure off as often as I can, and the game of cricket's hard enough as it is, but you just take all the pressure off them and allow the players to play and showcase their skills. They're going to play an entertaining brand and aggressive brand of cricket, and hopefully the fans enjoy watching them play.
And you always have. Sorry, Huff, you always have played an entertaining game of cricket. I wanted to ask you about this thing about the pressure of not having won the title, because I know you've kind of talked about it before, but because the reason I ask is Simon Goodwin, we had him with us a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about almost confronting the elephant in the room and sort of trying to turn it into a positive a little bit, that it's our time. What do you do with that? Do you ignore it? Do you attack it? What do you do?
Well, it's rather difficult because I get the players on the 1st of December, so I've got 5 days to prepare the boys and upskill the boys ready to go for Sunday, effectively. And you play practice games and you don't really have too much contact time with them or face-to-face time with them. So, but speaking on the grand finals and never winning one, I've discussed it at length with some of the boys, and it's a burning ambition with boys to hold the trophy up this year. But also, we believe that amongst our group that once we win one, there'll be a 3-4, like a New England Patriots dynasty style BBL franchise style of game.
I'll go back to the falafel. Sorry. I need to know more about this falafel conversation that you've included here, Huss. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, there's going to be some days where it just doesn't work out for you. So everything goes haywire and all the other team plays better than what you do, which can happen. Just because you guys play well, why our team plays well, doesn't mean the opposition can't play well as well. So sometimes you just got to acknowledge that. You're having a falafel day, and you just move on and get on with the next game, and try and take all the pressure off all the players.
Do you eat falafels?
I don't even know what a falafel is.
Huss, it looks like T20 cricket's become a chaser's game. You bat second.
Yes.
You see it through the World Cup. Australia were able to do that really successfully. Is there a way around it now? Okay, simply make more runs than the opposition when you bat first. But what can teams do to combat that now moving forward?
Yeah, it's a good point, Rama. So there's one constant in T20 cricket, and that's the score that's been set by the team that's batting first. But take a look at the World Cup. There's also different conditions. There's dew factor. Basically, the pitch gets better at night over in the UAE because of the dew factor. The ball skids on, it doesn't stop. So there's all those contributing factors there. But in Australia, I dare say it'll be a little bit different. A lot of Australian teams prefer batting first and getting a score on the board and then trying to defend that.
Personally, I'm a big believer of batting first, but our death bowling's just got to improve, and I think that's going to be the make or break of many a wins. If you win the surge, the two over power play in the middle of the innings, and the death overs, you generally go on to win the game of cricket.
So we know Zampa, we know Stornis, we know Maxwell, we know Cartwright, we know Stanlake. We know Coulter Nile. It's a bloody good turn. Joe Burns, we know him. Who's going to pop up out of nowhere and be a real game breaker for you this year, Huss? Anyone that's showing some signs?
Yeah, so we've got this young lefty, Faradoon from Lahore. He's actually bowled left arm off spin 18 months ago in the Lahore Commanders. So they said, no, you're not going to make it in cricket. Try leg spin. So he's been playing leg spin for the last 18 months to 2 years, and he's bowling beautifully. Very hard to read. Has two googlies, big turning leg spin. So I expect him to do particularly well. But with the bat, you just hope they all just turn up on the day and just score some runs and play an entertaining brand of cricket, which is the goal. You want to entertain the fans and keep them coming back and wanting more. And if they do that and play our brand of cricket, generally goes on a long way for us to winning the game of cricket as well.
We talked to David Sakhi yesterday, and he's got that real challenge that their big guns aren't there at the start of the tournament. Aaron Finch is having a bit of a break, Shaun Marsh is injured, and Nick Maddison's with the Australia A team. You've got the advantage that your guns are available, and I would imagine it gets you a chance to hit the ground running and get that early season momentum that takes the ladder pressure off you a little bit. Do you see it that way?
Not so much. If I'm brutally honest, probably shouldn't tell you this, but I will. We're actually missing about seven players as well. So, we've got a skeleton squad going up to Sydney on Friday as well, which is we've got a few injuries in Hatcher, Stanlake. Coulter Nile wasn't making the trip. Joe Burns has had a bit of a scope on his knee, so we're battling a little bit, but we do have good reserves. Our depth has always been our pride, but we've had really good signings there. So it's going to be an entertaining brand of cricket, but in saying that, getting off to a good start is the key. But without sounding too cliche, I've just asked the boys, just every time you pull on a Stars jersey, just compete. Yep, there's going to be days where it doesn't go to plan, and there's going to be other days where they play better than us, but we just compete for longer than them. Generally, we'll go on and win the game of cricket.
Importantly, has Maxwell and Stoinis sobered up yet from the World Cup?
Yep. Maxie's actually playing today. He's playing particularly well without putting too much pressure on him again. But he's happy. He's smiling, which is good. He's had a good couple of weeks off, spending time with his fiancé and friends and family, which is much needed after a very long campaign away. And Stoin's just happy being in Melbourne. Just a lovable rogue. And yeah, if his mind is fresh and he's ready to go, look out. I think he could set the tournament alight again.
Sydney Kings and Melbourne United, a game of NBL basketball, which kicks off this weekend. That's Sunday, 3 p.m. Check your local guys. Chris Golding is the captain of the championship-winning Melbourne United Basketball Club, and he joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, mate. Good morning, boys.
Nice to have you with us on the eve of another season, but you won't be there on Sunday. What's the go, brother?
No, I'm just trying to stretch out this extended off-season a little longer, so... We played Sunday. I played, probably the most minutes I have for the pre-season, which was all part of the plan. Back up with another hard session on Tuesday, and I just felt something in my old hamstring. It just felt a little tighter than usual. And we scanned it to be sure, and there was just a tiny, tiny little strain in it. So if it was game five of the playoffs coming up, I'd be there, but this early into what's hopefully a big campaign, we just thought it's best to take the precautionary route for the moment.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. I know what's going to be no doubt a long campaign for you at Melbourne United. I imagine it would give you a bit of comfort to know that you can just hand over the reins there of the leadership to someone like Matty Dellavedova, who just comes in and helps a brother out.
Not bad. it's going to be difficult for him, having dealt with LeBron and Kyrie to get the reins handed over from me, but I'm sure he'll be okay.
What sort of impact has he had? I'm interested to find out how he sort of inserted himself into the United campaign.
Much the same as he does everywhere. I say there's a few things about Delhi everywhere he goes. His basketball IQ is fantastic. So, you know, first day, he knows all our plays in and out. He knows the wrinkles that we should be running sort of 6 months into the year. He's ready to roll while, you know, a few of the other boys are still getting the names of the plays down. He's a hard worker. He's always in the gym. He's always on working on something to get better, whether it be, you know, his body, his shot, watching video, and he's a competitor. So no matter what it is at practice, Delhi will take you out if it means that he's going to win. So that's what we like down at Melbourne United.
Chris, how hard was it for you to get back into the swing of things after the high of the Olympics? You know, the winning the medal and then coming back here and celebrating and the like. How hard was it to get back in the swing of basketball?
Yeah, it was a little challenging at first. I kind of got thrown back into the swing of things because I had an opportunity to go back to the States and do some training with the Warriors. So I was very much on holidays. I was up in Noosa, and my agent called me and said, hey, can you be on a plane on Wednesday to go to San Fran? So that snapped me out of vacation mode pretty quickly. And from that point on, you know, your mind starts ticking over what's next. And the biggest thing for me has just been realizing that, okay, yeah, we won the championship last year. We had a great year, but that counts for not much now. You know, it's good to have that in the history books, but there's 9 other teams that want to come and take it from us, and it's time to G back up, and that's the challenge of doing this from year to year. You get new guys, you get a new system, you get new people. The challenge is, how do we piece it together and try and make this thing work? So that snapped me back into it pretty quickly.
And you talk about those new people. The departures are significant from last season. The additions look good on paper, but the start of this season is going to be really important, particularly to get away to a good start.
Yeah, you know, we lost very, very pivotal parts of our championship team. You know, we've added great pieces as well, which we're really happy with, and we're really lucky to have got some of the guys that we have got. But, I mean, I'll be straight up honest, the start of the preseason and how we've played has been a little bit challenging, you know, with so many new guys and trying to understand the system and the way we go about things. So you're exactly right. The first however many games are so important because of the border restrictions that are still in place. Mm. So we kind of get grouped with the other teams that are in those sort of open border states. And there's some tough teams, so we're going to continually play tough teams, and we're going to have to figure this thing out pretty quickly. So that's another layer to the challenges that we love as professional athletes. But you're right, we've got to be ready to roll from Sunday.
So what's motivating you, Chris? Because you've had such an amazing 2021 with the Olympic medal, and then obviously the championship with United. What keeps you going? What fuels you now?
As I alluded to before, just the continual hunt to do it again. Yep. It's weird. Like, you think, you know, for the first week or so after the season, you're partying, you're, you know, smoking cigars. It's fantastic. It's all good. You think, this is great. But then something kicks in and you're like, all right, that's over. Can we, you know, it's that continual hunt for that feeling again. So that's very much what it is for me, especially at my stage of the career. I think I've still got plenty of good years left, and I want them to be winning years. And then also a personal thing, my daughter's getting older. She's going to start coming to games more and more. I want to see, I want her to see her dad out there, packed John Cain Arena, you know, doing what he loves. So, yeah, there's a couple of things that keep me going.
No, it's awesome.
You mentioned that Golden State opportunity. So you click back into gear really quickly there. Is that still on the radar? Like, Is it more important now to be playing regular minutes for Melbourne United and being one of the stars of the show here? Or does it still motivate you to go over potentially to the NBA and maybe get 10 minutes a game, let's call it, to play in the big show?
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as I'm breathing and walking and dribbling and shooting, you'll always want to, you know, reach the highest level. I'm very much a realist. That was kind of the reason why I went, because I thought, you know, 33, you know, there's not going to be too many more opportunities. coming off the back of a fairly good Olympic campaign personally. So that's why I went and rolled the dice. So, of course, if it were to pop up, I would jump at it. But, you know, what's most important to me right now is playing, making sure my body's up to scratch and, you know, trying to win games over here with Melbourne. And, you know, if something were to pop up, absolutely fantastic. But the reality of that is it's, you know, I've probably got more chance of hitting an albatross or something. So, you know, we'll see how we go with that.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.